The Mishnah said that a murderer who got mixed up with others, according to the sages, all are exempt. According to Rabbi Yehuda, we'll put them into a jail and allow them to starve to death. So what does that mean? A murderer got mixed up into others. Why would the sages say they're all exempt? So that would sound like the murderer did something wrong. He got mixed in with others who didn't do anything, so can't kill the innocent, so therefore nobody gets put to death. But how could Rabbi Yehuda then say that they all get starved to death? I mean, they didn't do anything wrong, those others. And that's, how could you make an innocent person die because mixed in with him is someone who's guilty? So that's why, that was the problem. So Rabbi Avo gave one answer. Rabbi Avo said, no, we're not talking about where there's an innocent person in this mix. The whole mix is guilty. So what does it mean? The murderer wasn't convicted, though. The court had reached a conclusion that they should convict him, but to actually vote to convict, they have to see the guy. Because when they see the guy, that would, you know, make them feel mercy for him. And if, despite feeling mercy, they still want to convict, then we can convict. But now they've lost track of this guy. They don't know who the guy is. They could have a lot of people there, but they wouldn't know who is the one who is the that they're convicting. So even if they'd have a lot of people there, they wouldn't have this feeling of mercy because they don't recognize anybody.
Don't you have two witnesses that identify this
Maybe
guy?
Those aren't around anymore. They testified, they left. Maybe they also forgot who the guy is. The witnesses have also lost track of who it is. So the guy is guilty. They already had the discussions that he's guilty. But they don't, at this moment, recognize him. So since at this moment they don't recognize him, they can't convict. Now he went and he got mixed up with a group of people who've been convicted already. So they really deserve to die. So he's saving them. It's not that they're saving him. He's saving them because he can't be actually convicted. They've already been convicted. So the Chacham say, okay, they got lucky. There's one person here in this group that hasn't actually been convicted, but he's a guilty guy. The whole group gets off the hook. And Rabbi Yehuda says, well, listen, the others really should have been beheaded already because they were convicted. Right. This guy is guilty. We just can't do the last vote because we don't know who he is. So you know what? We'll put them all in a jail and let them starve to death. That's the view of Rabbi Yehuda. That's one explanation of what's going on in the Mishnah.
Wow.
All right, now we have a second explanation.
Rabbi, when they found them guilty, between finding them guilty and killing them, stoning them or whatever, it's right away they do it, right?
Shouldn't take too long, that's true.
So, I mean, there's no jail involved here. It's just
usually it happens right away. So I guess sometimes they'll do it.
Paperwork as to his ID number. Like that's his identity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for that one. But Baruch's asking, what about all the others? The others have been
waiting.
Why are they waiting? That's a good point. Usually there isn't a waiting, but apparently we saw earlier also that there sometimes wait.
Maybe they have a 3-day holiday, Rabbi. That's why they wait.
Maybe there was a wait. Maybe there were appeals.
What's philosophically the difference between killing them and letting them starve to death in a week?
Because you didn't do an action.
You didn't do it.
That's a big deal.
So philosophically, the issue was action or no action?
Yeah, that's a big difference. You didn't do it. That's just sort of on their own, they die. You set up the process, but they died on their own. That's their dying. That's not your actively killing. Rava Amar, so that was one answer. I'm sorry, Rish Lakish. Rish Lakish Amar, we are about 7 lines from the bottom. Rish Lakish Amar, Rish Lakish had a different explanation for our Mishnah. Now the Mishnah is problematic. If you just would have the view of the sages and a man who was convicted who then gets mixed up, the whole group gets off the hook, you would think that it means a man who was convicted, he gets mixed up with innocent people. But then you have Rabbi Yehuda, who says a man who gets convicted and gets mixed into a group, the whole group gets starved. How could it be innocent people who are being starved? So Rish Lakish Amar, Rish Lakish said, listen, but Adam, if it's a person who was about to be convicted, and they couldn't because they lost his identity, everyone would agree that since within this group, even though most of them have been convicted, but there's one who hasn't been convicted, so certainly the whole group would be exempted. But here, Bishar Shalom Nigmar Dinam. Here we're dealing not with the person, but with an ox. We're dealing with an ox that killed. And the ox hasn't yet been convicted. And this ox gets mixed up with other oxen who killed and have already been convicted. And now, now we have an argument. Rabbanan Savri, Rabbanan Hold, since the Torah links the way to kill an ox to the killing of a person, it says, V'gam ba'alav, you must, the owner of the ox shall die. It means the killing of the ox. Killing a killer ox is like killing a killing person. That means, k'misas b'ilam, kach misas ashor. All the laws of how a person is put to death are there in terms of putting the killing ox to death. So therefore, ain gomrim dino shel shor el b'fanav. The same way you can only vote to convict with the person in there, you know, with his pleading face, you can only vote to convict an ox with the ox there. But now where you don't know who that ox is, so you're not going to have that sense of mercy to any ox. So now, since you can't convict this ox, so now you have this ox can't be convicted, so they're all going to be let off the hook. And Rabbi Yehuda holds, no. Konsen osan lekipa. You put all the oxen into a jail and let them starve, because the other oxen are deserving of death. They've already been convicted. And this ox, too, as we'll see, is going to die. So you might as well just starve them. Amar Rava. Rava asked, Ihachi, if Reish Lakish is right, the Mishnah is talking about oxen.
Imagine, it treated the animal and the human being the same way, Rabbi?
Right. So, Ihach, if this is the case that the Mishnah is saying, where it's someone who should be guilty but hasn't yet been convicted, get mixed up with a group of convicts. So, Hainu Diktani, what about what we learn in the Braisa, Allah, this Mishnah, which says like this, that if the Mishnah again says a murderer gets mixed up with a group, the whole group gets let off the hook, according to the sages. Amr Rabbi Yossi said, Afilu Abba Chalafta Beinehem. Even if in this group there is a tzaddik, like Abba Chalafta, they all get exempted. Now, if the point of the Mishnah is that this murderer got mixed up with a group of people who've been convicted already, what do you mean, even if one of them is Abba Chalafta? Could be the biggest tzaddik in the world, but if he kills and he gets convicted, he deserves to be killed. So what's the point here? Who cares? Ela Amar Rava. So Rava said like this. No, the Mishnah is not saying that a guilty man or a guilty ox gets mixed up with people who've already been convicted, or oxen that have already been convicted. But Hachikamer, our Mishnah is saying something different. Shnayim shahayu omdin. Mishnah is saying if you have two people standing, v'yatzachaitz mi beinehem, and an arrow comes out from between the two of them, and we don't know who shot the arrow. So that's what the Mishnah is saying. We don't know who shot the arrow. V'harag, this arrow killed. Shnayim turim. The Chacham say both are exempt because we don't know who the murderer is. We can't put somebody to death if we don't know that he's actually a killer. V'amar Rabbi Yossi is saying about this, Afilu Abba Chalafta Beinam, even if of the two, one of them is a big tzaddik. So we don't say, oh, he's a big tzaddik, he probably didn't throw the arrow, so therefore must be the other guy threw the arrow, the other guy's a murderer. Because you can't, based on deduction, put someone to death. And you can't be sure that someone who's always been a tzaddik stays a tzaddik. Maybe he now became a murderer. So that's one law that the Mishnah really is saying. And the Braisa is adding color to it. And then the Mishnah is continuing on with a second law. The Mishnah is then saying, B'shor shenigmar dino. If you have an ox who's already been convicted for having killed a person, shenisar b'shvar macher ma'alya, that gets mixed up with lots of other oxen that haven't killed at all, soklin osan, so then we kill all the oxen. Why? Because this ox is this ox that's been convicted is certainly supposed to be killed, and you can't get any benefit from it. So now that it got mixed up with other oxen, and we don't know which ox is which, you can't use any of these oxen. Because if someone were to use any of these oxen, he might be using the ox that you're now to get benefit from. So now you have a bunch of oxen that no one can use, and in that group of oxen that no one can use, one of them is really supposed to be killed. So you can kill them all. Because if you kill them all, you're not causing a loss to anyone. No one's getting any benefit from any of these oxen. And there is a mitzvah to kill this ox that was convicted. Now it was mixed up into the group. So you might as well kill them all.
But this is contradicting with the other thing we were talking about.
Which way?
If they found them guilty, they starved them, not to, you know.
One second. Starving is Rabbi Yehuda. So on this, Rabbi Yehuda, Omer, Rabbi Yehuda says, no, the Beis Din doesn't have to go kill or stone lots of oxen when only one of them really is deserving of stoning. Konsonoson lakipa, Beis Din can just put them in some enclosure where they won't be fed, and they will all starve. And the Gemara now proves this. For Tanya, as we learned in a brisa, para shem yisa, a cow that kills a person, v'achar kach yalda. After it killed, it gave birth. So now the question is this fetus considered a killing cow or not? So imad shelo nigmar dina yalda, if before the ox was convicted, it gave birth. So vlada mutter. So then we say, so the child that was born is okay, because before he came into the world, before his mother was supposed to be killed. However, mishenigmar dina yalda, but if the mother was convicted, and then she gave birth, vlada asur, so then this child is also prohibited, because when the mother was convicted and turned into a prohibited ox, the whole of the mother was prohibited, and the child is part of the mother, so the child was prohibited. Now that the child is born, it still stays in its prohibited state. Now, nis'arev b'acherim, another case, let's say an ox is convicted, and it gets mixed into another group of oxen. So we have an ox, we'll call him Bill. Bill gets mixed in with five other oxen. Ba'achirim, ba'achirim. And now these six oxen, we don't know who's who, get mixed in with another 30 oxen. So now we have 30 oxen in them. One of them is a prohibited ox. So konsonosan lakipa, we put them into an enclosure and we let them all starve to death. Rabbi Shimon says we bring them to Beis Din, misoklin osan, and we stone them. So we see this is the argument. Basically, once you have in a mixture, one of the mixture being an ox that's prohibited, so practically you can't use any of these oxen, because maybe it's one of the prohibited oxen, so you can't use them. So once you can't use them, you might as well fulfill the mitzvah of stoning, because then at least you've stoned the guilty one. Because we're talking about a case where it's already been convicted. And the Chacham and Rabbi Yehuda says, well, you don't have to be matriach to stone 30 oxen when really only one deserves stoning. You can put them all into a jail and let them starve to death. I think Jonathan had a question first.
Yeah, I mean, let's say it went into somebody's pen of oxen.
Right.
He's going to lose a tremendous amount of
money. He will, yeah. Because he can't use any of the oxen, because maybe he's using...
He can't identify.
Sure. If you can't identify it, so then maybe
someone
he's using
a lot.
Right, sure, because yeah. The Torah says there is an Isser Hanah. You're not allowed to get benefit from an ox that kills. And now that you don't know which ox that is, and you have a whole group of oxen, so you can't get benefit from any of these oxen.
And there's no busser over into that?
That's an interesting question. Apparently not, because it's kavu, I guess, because it's established. You're looking at the group. One second, I think David had a question.
We started by saying that if you can't identify the guy, then
somehow attributes to being merciful, and then we don't want to kill them,
so right.
Put them in a cage. But then, according to our view, that if you start them, well, that's a much more harsh way of everybody dying as opposed to skila.
Apparently it's less because the starving is not your action. It's an interesting thought. It's sort of, it's grama. It's indirect. You're preventing food and then they're eventually dying.
Well, it's all about fire, right?
True, but it's not like apparently stoning where or beheading or burning. That's an act of killing and that's apparently considered harsher.
It's a slow motion death.
Now, Baruch has a question.
Yeah, going back to the pregnant fox.
Ox,
I mean.
Yeah.
What happens if they found the ox guilty? They kill the ox while she's pregnant?
Yeah.
Or they wait till she...
No, they would kill her while she's pregnant.
So the baby becomes guilty too?
Yeah, because the baby's part of the mother. Yeah, so whatever the mother did, the baby did. Uber Yerachimo. That's what we're going to see a discussion about now.
Wow.
Right. So now, we looked at the Braisa. If you have a cow that kills, if the cow gave birth before it was convicted, as David pointed out, then this child is permitted. So one second, asks the Gemara. Even if when she actually gored and killed, she was pregnant. So, I mean, why do you say that the child is permitted? But didn't Rava tell us? Vlada no gachas aser. A child of a cow that kills is not allowed to be used as a karban. Because he uvlada nagchu. Because at the moment of the killing, the child was inside the mother. So the child and the mother killed. So the child also killed. So if the child also killed, the child should also be able to be put to death. Vlada nirvas. Let's say a man has intercourse with a pregnant cow. So then the same way that, or a pregnant sheep. So the same way that sheep can't be used as a carbon, the fetus can't be used as a carbon. Aser, because he uvlada nirbo, because the pregnant fetus also was part of the bestial intercourse. So why do you say that if the child is born before the conviction, this calf is getting away? The calf should also be convicted. So Gemara says, you're right. If at the time of the killing, when the cow killed, the cow was already pregnant, and this fetus was part of that killing. Ema, but what's going on in the Braisa is like this. Im at shalo nigmar dina. If before she was convicted, Ibra, she became pregnant, Viyalda, and she gave birth. In other words, she both became pregnant and gave birth after the goring and before the conviction. So then Vladar Mutter. So that child wasn't part of the goring. And that child wasn't convicted. So that child is permitted. But in Mishanig Mardina, but if after she was convicted, then Ibra Vialda, then she became pregnant and then she gave birth. So now, who became pregnant? An animal that's already slated for death. That's what it became pregnant. And that, then, it, so within her was a part that's going to go get killed, because she was supposed to be killed. And there were delays, she wasn't killed yet. So the child came out. So Vlada Aser, the child is still prohibited. That's what the Braisa is saying. Ask the Gemara, Ha-Nichal Amanda Amar. That would make sense according to the opinion that Zev is Zegorim. When you have a prohibited thing and a permitted thing causing something, it's Aser. It's still prohibited. So now you understand. You have the cow that's supposed to be killed. You have the father, the ox, that it's not, impregnates it. So there's the prohibited, the cow, the mother, and the father, the permitted. So it stays prohibited. But Elalaman Damer, but according to the opinion, that Zev is Zegoreim is Mutter, that when you have one cause being a prohibited cause, the mother, and another cause being a permitted cause, the father, then it stays permitted. Why would a cow that becomes pregnant after she was convicted, would that child be prohibited? The cow was prohibited, but the father was permitted. So based on that, it should be permitted. So the Gemara says, okay, you're right. It's not talking about where the cow became pregnant after it was convicted. Ela Amar Ravina, rather Ravina said, Ema, the case is like this. If the cow has not yet been convicted, and then Ibra, then after she did the act, she became pregnant, and then Yalda, and she gave birth before she was convicted, V'ladam Mutter, the child is permitted, as we said, because the child wasn't inside of her at the time of the goring, the child wasn't inside of her at the time of the conviction. However, but if she became pregnant before the conviction, but after the act, then she was convicted and then she gave birth, the child is prohibited. Why? Because ubar yerech imo, the child is a part of the mother. So it's when the child is inside the mother, it's like a limb of the mother. It's like the thigh of the mother. So therefore, when there was a ruling, this mother is to be put to death, that means all the limbs of the mother to be put to death. It's not that just, you know, the leg is put to death, the whole mother. So that's a ruling on the child, because he was inside at the time, he was a limb. Then he gets born. Okay, he still has a ruling on him that he's to be put to death. And therefore, he's to be put to death.
Is the cow... is not impregnated while she commits the act.
Correct.
But afterwards gets impregnated. Good. And then gets convicted.
Good. While pregnant.
While pregnant. Then the child goes with the cow, right?
Correct. That's exactly the point.
But the child wasn't part of the cow when she did the...
But he's part of the cow when the cow is convicted.
Right.
When the ruling was put on this cow, that this cow should be put to death, the whole cow should be put to death. And the child inside is part of the cow. It's just a muscle in the cow. So we don't say some of the muscles are put to death. All the muscles have a death penalty imposed on them.
So if he comes out before the ruling...
Oh, then already not. Then he became a separate entity before the ruling.
That's provided that he was born after the...
He was conceived.
He was conceived before the act.
Yes.
Then
as we said,
retroactively, he will.
Yeah, because he was part of the act. That's right.
He could get mixed up with the other cows, and now they don't know what's up.
They can kill them all.
Wow. Pretty crazy.
Wonderful.
But can you learn the rules of a cow to apply to a human? I guess.
Yes. That's what it sounds like.
Treated them the same
that's
way.
That's what he did.
Yeah. Yeah. This is. And the father is totally innocent, right?
He didn't do anything, the ox.
And if the cow was sodomized, it's the same. He was involved in the
then
act.
The mother becomes disqualified to be used as a carbon. Exactly. So now the Mishnah said, again, that if people are convicted and they are deserving of a severe penalty, and they get mixed up with others who are deserving of a lesser penalty. We don't know who's who, so we give everyone the lesser penalty. So that gets into the famous argument between Rabbi Shimon and the sages. What's the more severe penalty? What's the lesser penalty? Rabbi Shimon holds burning is the worst penalty. So according to Rabbi Shimon, if you had people who are deserving of skila, who get mixed into people deserving of burning, everyone's going to get burning because that's the lesser penalty. According to the sages, that stoning is worse than burning. So, I'm sorry, according to Rishimun, if you have people who are deserving of burning, mixed up with people deserving of stoning, they're all going to get stoned. Because he holds that stoning is a lesser penalty. But according to the sages, that stoning is not a lesser penalty, they would all get burned. Because burning is the lesser penalty. Again, the rule is that if you have people who've already been convicted, everybody's been already convicted, Some have been convicted for a punishment that's very, very bad, and others have been convicted for a punishment that's a little less bad. So you can only give them now, everyone, the less bad punishment. Because you couldn't ever give someone who's deserving the lesser punishment this more severe punishment.
Choking is even less severe than both of those.
That's correct. Choking and beheading.
Why not just choke them all so there's no...
Well, because nobody here has been convicted of choking. No one here has been given that penalty of choking.
There's no controversy over which is worse.
Yeah, but you know, no one's been...
still dead.
Right, but no one's been, no one has a, if one of the group had a choking penalty on him, we don't know who that is, then we would give everybody choking. But we don't hear this group, it's just stoners with burners.
It's like a dead show. What about the kapara aspect? Isn't part of the death is the kapara? Like, and so if you have the wrong death.
Very nice question. Very good. Yeah, I guess apparently if you don't have a choice, then that's what we have to do. Maybe it's true there's the kapara aspect, but maybe we're learning here that the v'hitzilu ha'eda aspect is a more important value even than the kapara. We never want to be a party of giving someone something worse than what he deserves.
We don't make those kashmones down here.
That's part of it, maybe. That's a good point. So again, the Mishnah says, kol chayvei misos bezdin. When you have people who are deserving of death that get mixed up with each other, we don't know who's who, we give them all the lesser penalty.
At the end of the day, they all die, right, Rabbi?
Good point. Shema mina, so we see from here, though, let's remember that the death penalty is a function of a warning. So that means that musra l'davar chamor, when someone was warned, don't do it because you're going to get a very severe penalty. Havi musra l'davar kal, that includes within it basically a warning of on him, don't do it, because you'll get a lesser penalty. That the more severe, the fact that he was giving a warning about a severe penalty includes within it a warning about a lesser penalty. That's what we see here.
It's a hard thing to understand because it's not explicit.
Even though it wasn't explicit. That's right. Because if you're going to say that when you're warned for something more severe, you're not warned for something less, and how could you give them the lesser penalty? They weren't warned. You can't give somebody a penalty without a warning. So that's what the Gemara thinks. So Rabbi Yirmi said, well, maybe here there was no warning. In the cases over here, could go in Shehisrubo Stam. He just said, don't do it because you're going to get killed. He didn't tell him how he's going to get killed. So he said, you're going to get killed. So he can get even killed in a lesser way. V'hai Tanahu. And it's the view of the following Tana. The Tana lived in Abraisa. Ushar chayve misos shabat Torah, and all the other people in the Torah who have to be put to death, after talking about a mesit, about someone who incites, emi misin osan ala be'edza, you need to have a court of 23 to convict them, the edim, they need to have witnesses, v'hasra, they need a warning, unlike a mesit, who doesn't need a warning. V'achi yodiyuhu shu chayev misos bezdin. And the witnesses who give the warning have to tell him, don't do it, because if you do it, you're going to be killed by the court. But they don't have to say how you'll be killed, they just have to say you'll be killed. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, they have to tell him which death he's going to die with. If they don't tell him which death he's going to die with, then he's not going to be, then he can't be put to death. So, what's the argument between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim? Tanakama Yalfi Makoshesh. The Tanakama says, well, let's learn from the Torah's case where somebody was stoned. We have this case in Parshat Shlach of the man who was Makoshesh Eitzim Bashabbat. Now, Makoshesh Eitzim, the Gemara says in Shabbos, it's not clear what it is. It could mean that it's a person who brings wood together to burn them. Maybe he gathers, wood that had fallen from trees, out in the field to one pile. That's called the Malach of Ma'amer. Maybe he carried the wood from a private yard out into the streets. That's the Malach of Hotzah. Whatever it was, he had violated Shabbos. He was arrested. He was put into a jail. They didn't know what would be with him. They asked Hashem. Hashem said, okay, stone him. And he gets stoned. So now he couldn't have been warned for stoning because they didn't even know about stoning. So what was he warned for? Don't do it because you're going to die if you do it. And that was apparently enough. So that means in general, the warning doesn't have to specify which type of death. It just has to say that there is death. However, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda says that case was an unusual case. It wasn't following normal halacha. Mekoshe sharas shah hayisa. That case of the man who violated Shabbos was a one-time rule. You can't learn from it to anywhere else. Normally, they didn't know that there was stoning, so they couldn't warn him for stoning. But normally, the warning has to specify the death. Okay, that's the argument. And we're explaining our Mishnah is that it's following the view of the sages and where there was just a warning without specified
death. So if they had warned him that you're going to be stoned, he wouldn't do it. But is that right? They should have, instead of choking.
Maybe you're trying to explain the reasoning of Rabbi Yehuda. Maybe that's Rabbi Yehuda's reasoning. Maybe. He finds ways out. All right, again, the Mishnah says, Aniskalim v'nisraf. Let's say you had a group of people that have been convicted to be stoned. And they get mixed in with a group of people who've been convicted to be burned. So Rabbi Yehuda holds burning, Rabbi Shimon holds burning is worse. So they all get stoned. The sages hold burning is less than stoning. So the sages say they all get burned. Says the Gemara, Masna, Rav Yecheskel, Rav Yecheskel taught Rami, his son, the following version. Hanisrafim, the people who are supposed to be burned, biniskalim. They get mixed into a larger group of people who are supposed to be stoned. So Rabbi Shimon Omer Yidonu Biskila. They should be stoned. Shasrefa Chamura, because burning is much stricter. So that's the way he read it. Amarle Rav Yehuda. So Rav Yehuda said to Rav Yecheskel, Avalo Titnaya Hachi. Rav Yehuda was the son of Rav Yecheskel. So he said, Father, don't read it like this. Don't say the Mishnah like this. Don't say this text. Because if you say this text, namely that a smaller group of burners got mixed up into a large group of stoners, so my iria disrefa chamura. So why is it that they're getting stoned because burning is so strict? You can't give burning to those who don't deserve it. Typically, the Reuben is calling in. I'll tell you why they all get stoned, because the majority is people getting stoned. So Rav Yecheskel said back to his son Rav Yehuda, Lehechi Yisnaya, so how do you want me to read this Mishnah? Haniskalim b'nisrafim, then if it's the people being stoned, getting mixed into a larger group of people being burned. Rabbi Shimon Omer Yidonu B'skilur, Rabbi Shimon says they all get stoned. Shasrefa chamura, because burning is more severe, and you can't give the more severe penalty. Yachim Asefa. Okay, so now read the end. Chacham Omer Yidonu B'srefa, Shaskila chamura. The Chacham say no, they all get burned because stoning is more severe. So why do you have to say it that way? You can say that the reason why the Chacham say they all get burned is because burning is the majority here. So Rabbi Yehuda said back, no. You should say, in fact, that it's a small group of people being stoned, getting mixed into a larger group of people being burned. A small group of people being stoned, being mixed into a larger group of people being burned. Why did the Chacham say, because stoning is more strict? It's not because otherwise you wouldn't have made this claim. Even if stoning would be less strict, you'd say, well, but burning is the majority. But Hasam Rabban Huta Kamerle Reb Shimon. The Rabban at that point are just responding to Reb Shimon. You're saying burning is stricter. So everybody needs to be stoned. Lo, it's not true. Skila chamura. Stoning is more strict. But in fact, you're right. The case is a case where the majority is people being burned. Anyway, that was the conversation. So Shmuel heard how it went back and forth. Rav Yehuda said to his father, don't read it this way, read it that way, change the girsa. So Amalei Shmuel Rav Yehuda. So Shmuel said to Rav Yehuda, listen, Shinna, you're a very smart guy. You've got big teeth. You've got a good mouth, but lo temele lavuchachi. That's not the way to talk to your father. The tanya we learned in a brisa, reisha yavav over al divrei Torah. Let's say a man sees his father violating a Torah law. Lo yomer lo, you shouldn't tell him, Abba avart al divrei Torah. Father, you violated Torah law. Elohimelo, but rather you should tell him, Abba, Father, kach pasuk b'Torah. This is what it says in the Torah. It's a sof, I know how. It's the same thing as saying he violated Torah law. Elohimelo, but rather you should say to him, Abba, Father, mikra kasuk b'Torah kach. I think there's a pasuk that says the following. So once you only hint it by saying, look at a pasuk, you're not saying, okay, you did something wrong. The same thing here. It wasn't right for Rav Yehuda to tell his father of Yecheskel, don't read the Brisa this way. Because that is not respectful to his father.
Rabbi, it sounds now like we are saying that one in a group, you would just think to say Basaro. And we didn't say that by the short.
Right.
It just didn't,
They didn't think to say that earlier. That's true.
So that way, today's world of electronic, all the kids are teaching their parents what to do.